Hop Podcast. Let's go.
You're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore wind, ignore weather. To live off the land. His job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition.
All right, welcome back. My voice is a little bit out of commission today. I am dealing with COVID. That's what Santa brought me this year for Christmas, but that's okay because today we have Dr. Ellie Stevens. You might remember her from earlier this season. She joined us with her husband for an Advancing Warriors Initiative. But today is just going to focus on her today. So Dr. Stevens, welcome.
Thank How you. Have you been? Doing well. Enjoyed our first Christmas with our little baby. So it's good.
Nice. Now, I want to open it up for you. I want you to again, not only introduce yourself, but tell us about your mission, your passion, and your why.
Yeah, so I grew up in the church. I've always been very goal-oriented and driven. And from a young age, I wanted to join the military. My grandpa was in World War II. My uncle was in Vietnam. And they're just amazing men. My grandpa recently passed on to heaven, but he lived an amazing life and he was in law enforcement for 42 years. So just very, very much service oriented. My mom was a newborn intensive care nurse. So I decided that I wanted to be in the medical field as well. And so from a young age, just I believed that Jesus is who he said he was. He's God in the flesh, and he promises everlasting life to anyone who believes in him for it. And so I took him at his word and really dove head into learning the Bible and really living that as my life. And so chose to help serve others and follow in his footsteps in service. And during that time, a lot of traumas happened, and because we live in a dark, broken world. And I didn't realize all the traumas that were going on when I was around five or six. I was sexually molested, and I just shoved it down. I pushed it down, but I couldn't really reconcile what happened. And I ignored it, and I really internalized it to the point where I lost confidence in myself. And I felt like I didn't really have value. And so my focus was more on proving my worth than knowing that I was valuable to God and to people around me who loved me. And so my mission kind of shifted to this proving my worth, proving that I'm worthy to myself, to others. And it became very disordered and distorted of what originally set out to be. And so went through medical school to become a physician, joined the Air Force, became an Air Force psychiatrist. And I was pursuing those goals of service, but deep down inside, I was very self-absorbed because I was trying to prove my worth, not really realizing that I was focused on my goals, doing what I feel like I needed to do, but I lost sight of my relationship with God, my relationship with others, and truly being able to love and to be able to receive love. Yeah. And so when I was in the Air Force, I was able to do a child and adolescent psychiatry fellowship in Colorado, and I always loved the mountains, and that's where I wanted to end up eventually. And so I was trying to achieve other goals. So I wanted to climb all the 14,000 foot peaks in Colorado within my first year.
Oh yeah.
and ended up sustaining a traumatic brain injury on the 32nd peak. And it was basically, it was a freak accident. I was already done climbing the peak and everything. And it was just at the end of a boulder field. And that changed everything because I could no longer achieve and prove my worth with the traumatic brain injury. I couldn't add 5 plus 7 together. It was pretty bad. And within a month of that, ended up being raped. And so it was this inability to process the rape because of the brain injury. And it was another thing that I just buried and internalized and ended up developing this self-hatred. And so all of my mission of serving others, I couldn't even help myself. And it was a very dark period of time. I was suicidal. I had really bad depression, developed PTSD, and had all of this stuff going on. And I was used to treating people with those problems. And now I couldn't get the help that I needed. And so saying all of that is my mission. It's always been the same, but my heart's now aligned with that mission, because through that journey of suffering and trauma, I was actually able to draw closer to God and to recognize the life that I had lived was hypocritical, and that I truly learned how to start loving others and start receiving love, and got rid of that self-hatred through that journey. And so initially on that journey with the traumatic brain injury, I didn't realize I had PTSD until 2.5 years after the fact. And I'm a psychiatrist. And so you would think, like, hey, talk about denial, right? So I decided to prayed to God. I said, God, and it was more, I was focused on the brain injury, because I couldn't read for 2.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing that, I keyed in on was the ability to read and concentrate was gone. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a community with high performing individuals, we just think we can just force the mind to do what we've always done. We can just push through it. And there's so many, like, we tend to think we are so different that we have no common thread amongst us. But your story and the parallels to not just soft individuals, but other individuals in the military that are high achievers that are dealing with trauma, we've all dealt with it the same way. We seek out trying to be the best in a career field that's like the best of the best, or the one percenters are standing out, because we think that's going to fill that gap within our soul. Now we're just going to be able to fill that hole and feed that monster. And at some point it's going to be filled up, and then we're going to look in the mirror. We're not going to hate ourselves. Mm. And that is a fallacy. Like, I've lived it, you lived it. And the only thing that made it feel better, and I can finally understand it now because I've gone through the whole arc of it, was being able to focus on mind, body, and spirit. The spirit part that nobody likes to talk about. We are social pariahs if we start championing church and family and faith. Nobody wants to talk about that. Right now is the time to be able to stand up and say, you know what? I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I am somebody who believes in God. Going to church now and understanding the importance of a family event, like, he doesn't ask us to do 75 things on a daily basis. One day of worship, like pray, like doing the rosary with my wife at night. Now understanding that, like, okay, you know what? Like, this is a thing that I can do with my wife. This is a thing that we can sit together and do. And that was the missing component in all of my life. But trying to be an overachiever, trying to be somebody that can just constantly climb that ladder, whatever it wasn't going to ever do it. You just have to go through this journey. And it's that right there is the common thing that we need to understand. If we're able to look at each other's successes and failures, and where we actually find true respite and growth is in faith. But we need to be able to, like, share these stories. Your story and what you're sharing right now, that is the most important thing we can champion in today's world. It's such a weird world when you look at it, that the one thing that we can all talk about, if we were just a little more brave, a little more courageous, is what faith has done for us in our lives. But people are so scared, because what happens when we talk about it in public? Oh, you're crazy. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. It's so weird. But now I'm on the other side. I'm like, why don't we talk? Why isn't it more? And we amplify so many different things on TV. can share anything in our social media apps, but just simply talking about faith is so difficult. So I really want to dig into this today. When you finally found yourself, when you had that moment of like peering into that mirror, so to speak, of like, okay, I am broken. Like, how do I get back? How did you, what was the first step you took to get back into your faith?
So I don't know if I ever lost my faith, but I had a disconnect. So I was, and I would probably call myself like a Pharisee, where I'm like, oh, I'm a good Christian. I'm doing everything right. But deep down inside, it was really ugly. And so when I came face to face with that ugliness and darkness, I just fell at God's feet. I'm like, I can't do anything with this. I can't cover it up anymore. I can't hide from it. I can't run with it. I just ask you to help me with it. And so I was able to let go of my pride of trying to prove that I'm worthy and invite God in to deal with all that darkness. And it was very much a dependence on him that I had never had before, because I couldn't read, I couldn't work, I couldn't hardly do anything. And so that's pretty much like the one choice I had was to give up on all of it or to cling to God. And when I was clinging to God, it was this, an act of surrender of like, okay, I'm surrendering my power to make myself worthy, and I'm relying on you. And that's when I actually probably for the first time felt peace. For the first time, I was able to leave it in God's hands and take the pressure off my shoulders. And so I think recognizing instead of, and I think this is what we do. We hide from our darkness. We want to think that we are near perfect and that we don't have any flaws, especially those high achievers who pursue perfection, even though we know we can't ever attain it. There's almost a fear of being discovered, a fear of uncovering this darkness or uncovering these flaws. And so we do whatever it takes to protect ourselves and others from seeing it. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, right? And when you don't have to do that anymore, when you're inviting God in and say, God, I know you see this anyway. I mean, you're all knowing, you know everything about me. You know me better than you know myself. And yet you love me the same. Your love never changes. And so I was able to actually let his love in, feel his love and feel that peace for the first time. And that actually helped draw me closer to him and give me more of a passion and a drive to know him more, to listen to the Bible app because I couldn't read and just pour myself into that because, you know, and it always baffles me how God's provided us his word. This is the truth. This is how I'm choosing to share myself with you and give you what you need to know and come down in the form of flesh and show myself to you. But and I'm guilty of the same thing. Like, why don't I have more of a passion to know the word and correctly understand it? I've been doing some blogs on helping people with the concept of worldview. Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has something that maybe they've grown up with or they've learned from trauma or they're something, the way they see the world. And a lot of people just take what they've heard and take that as the truth. Instead of digging into, okay, what do I truly believe the truth is, and dig into that and pursue that. Mm-hmm. And so it was more of like, I'm not going to just take my pastor's word for it. I'm going to dig in for myself and learn it for myself and draw closer to God on an individual basis as well. And so that's what I did. I chose to pursue him for myself, and get to understand what is the truth instead of taking someone's word for it. And that is what really helped me change, that focus from an internal focus of trying to pursue my worth, trying to clean myself up, trying to be this good Christian, and, actually be able to be a good Christian because he is empowering me to be that. And I'm not exhausting myself trying to block these, you know, the darkness from coming out.
Yeah. It's the Christian aesthetic, trying to look the part, trying to look and rather than live the part. That's the thing that a lot of us struggle with. It's funny. I want to take it back to something you said when you surrender, when you give way to just allowing yourself to give up that stress, give up that worry, give up that pain and allow God to take it. Surrendering. Like that is a hard thing for high performers, high achievers to do. We want to own and hold on to that worry, the thing that's driving us crazy. I know in my recovery, that was the one thing I didn't want to give up. I wanted to have the control. That's why I wanted to roll the dice. I wanted to say, yeah, let's do another surgery. Like let's keep going. Do everything you can, exhaust it. Like I don't want to give up the idea that I can't control this, but we have to. Like you're not in control of this. The more you try to hang on to it, the more you're trying to fight this thing, the more you're losing. You have to be willing to surrender. And that's that piece that a lot of us we want it so desperately, but we don't know how to get it. And all you have to simply do is go back to your faith or discover it. Be willing to ask that question. I always talk about the guys that successfully navigated combat or successfully navigated traumatic events. I look back at my team life. I look back at the people I served with, individuals that always had a great success and never had those moments of moral injury or PTSD, but always the gentlemen that had strong faith and had families that were their main points of anchor. Like that was the thing they were going to. They weren't busy running around, going drinking, hitting bars. Like they had that pillar of strength. The spirit was very well developed. They could survive if they were injured, you know, when your body is not 100%, but your mind's good to go and your spirit is 100%. It kind of helps balance the other sphere that's not doing well. But guys like myself that never had any really development in that spirit realm, never really had a good development in that mind focus, and your body deteriorates, you have nothing to fall back on and nothing to go. So I understand that completely, how hard it must have been when you were dealing with that injury, like having to let go and finally just give way and surrender. That's incredibly hard. Like I know from my own experience, like you want to get back to being a high performing achiever, a doctor. How can you do that? And just having to just say, you know what? I will get there when I get there. Like that's a hard thing. What was that journey like? Having to go back from climb back from such a deficit.
And it was, I mean, I had, so at the very beginning I prayed, I said, God, please don't let me waste this trauma. I want to help others through it. Mm. And that was at the very beginning. And I had trauma after trauma after trauma. I was in multiple car wrecks. I was sexually assaulted again. Like it was just one thing after another. And I was just constantly, the rape is what broke me. And I had never been broken before to the point where I felt like part of my soul just was lost. And I think that goes back to thinking, I mean, I was trying to save myself for my husband for marriage. And that was a huge part of my Christian identity, which I think part of that is the church. The Bible talks about being pure and saving yourself for marriage and all of that kind of stuff. But sometimes people elevate that above the relationship with God. And, it's like, if you've had this, if you've done this before, then you're never going to have that relationship with God that you desire. And so in my mind, that's not biblical, but in my mind, it was like, wow, I'm just a broken person. And this was taken from me and I can't do anything about it. And the gift that I have to give my husband, I don't have to give anymore. And so it was part of a faulty thinking on my part, but I never processed it and understood what was going on until several years later. And so just that feeling broken, feeling like I have nothing to offer the world. I have nothing to offer God. I have nothing to offer anyone else. It's just a very dark place to be, especially when you are someone who likes to achieve and who has their identity in what they do. And so as I became more and more broken, it's almost like the shell that I had around my heart to guard myself from any flaws or failures. It was this inability to love. And when that shell started breaking open, I was able to truly learn how to live again. Instead of living this robotic life of like, hey, I'm perfect to everyone else, or I'm trying to be, I was actually living a human life again, which meant I hurt more, which meant I opened myself up to those vulnerabilities and those mistakes, but I was actually able to allow God in to strengthen me and to love me. And so it was probably a 5-year process of feeling that brokenness, but allowing God to show me his love, God to show me his love and renewing my mind with the truth that I'm not broken. I am loved. I have the power of the Holy Spirit within me that can help me live. And it was just that process of continually relying on God. When I feel like a failure, when I feel that darkness creep in, I can continue to go to him and ask for that help. And I tried a ton of medications. They're even trying to do surgery on my brain and like all kinds of stuff to try to get me to be able to function again. And the biggest piece for my healing was uncovering the trauma and really being able to dispel the lies that I was believing. That, I mean, it's probably a lot of self-sabotage because I felt that internal hatred. I blamed myself for everything that happened. Yep. And so once I could get rid of that self-sabotage, I was able to go on a path of healing. And it was the reading piece. All of a sudden, after one of the major trauma treatments that I did with a therapist, and really helping me not only with the psychological piece, but with the spiritual piece, I was able to start reading again. And it was almost just a miraculous thing for me. Once I was able to start reading again, I mean, a lot of things were able to follow suit, because if you can't read, can't really do anything. So,
yeah.
So, that really helped, the journey of getting rid of that self-hatred. You can't get rid of something if you don't recognize it's there. And really being able to come clean and say, okay, what am I really dealing with? What do I need help with? And am I willing to get that help? And that was the start of the journey. And then, being able to be vulnerable with other people and let them in to help bring healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-sabotage and self-hate are something that we are so good at. And in the military, it becomes like this dark humor shield that we hide behind, and we all do it. We just laugh about it, and then becomes this accepted thing that we are all dealing with until you're by yourself. Then you realize like, oh wow, I can't look myself in the mirror. I absolutely hate the person I am. And we openly talk about it and joke, and that dark humor just becomes something that we deal with. And it's like, the things we say about ourselves, the longer you say it, the more of a pattern you develop, the harder it's going to be to break it. And guys engage it, and women too, guys and women, we engage with it almost on a daily basis until you finally realize like, wow, like it is not healthy for a living organism to hate itself. It is not a healthy thing. It's not meant to be a factor, but we condone it and we continue to engage with it. And just having to combat that, it's one of the hardest things. And you talked about it. When you turn to faith, when you understand the importance of turning to God, it's not like God's going to come down and remove all the obstacles out of your life. That's not what happens. You have to work. You want to be courageous. You want to be brave. He's not just going to endow these things and put them inside you and be like, now you're brave. He's going to give you opportunities to show that. He's going to give you the opportunities to be like, holy cow, I am brave. I am courageous. I have it. I have it within me to do these things. That's the beauty of it. Like, you have to do the work. And when you go to church, when you read the Bible, when you use the Halo app like I do, and you pray on a daily basis, you realize that it's not about this magical presence that's going to remove obstacles in your life. It's going to give you the clarity to start working, believing in yourself, and understanding that you can overcome these things. It's understanding that the beauty is in the work, actually working towards it, and he's there with you. A lot of people misconstrue that. It's like, oh, there's a magical presence just going to take care of everything for you. No, that's not it. You still got to do the work, but he's there with you. And it's a beautiful thing, understanding that when you finally start walking that path and doing the work, you can look backward. You can look back on your life and realize, like, holy cow, like, just a few years ago, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. I couldn't say one nice thing about myself. And look where I'm at now. That's the difference. That's the difference I want for everybody that's listening to this right now. Just be curious enough, be brave enough to look into this, because it really is three pillars: your mind, your body, and your spirit. If one is in complete deficit, and I guarantee for a majority of people, it's that spirit one. Start asking questions. Start pulling the thread. It's funny. When you're young, you go with the culture. You revolt. You go against your parents, the traditional norms, and you go with culture. Now that I'm older, almost 40, you realize, like, holy cow, culture sucks. The vast majority of what they're feeding kids and people is garbage. Like, go back to some of the traditional norms of your family, the things that you were raised on. One of the most beautiful memories I have, and I don't have much from my young childhood as a little kid in Panama, was going to church, going to a Catholic church, having that in that little gem, that core memory that I still have. Like, that's what I value now. Understanding that, wow, like, going to church with my wife now, like, I connecting that with that first memory of a kid and how great it felt to be in that environment. Like, holy, like, that's important. Yeah. And now more than ever, we need to have that. We need to be able to have these conversations.
Yeah, and with Advancing Warriors, so the nonprofit I founded, really being able to find that community. Like, if you can't find a church, or you can't connect with the church yet, you can connect with your brothers and sisters in arms. You can connect with those people who've been there, done that. In combat, we have first responder groups and veteran groups. And really being able to pull on those threads of the Bible and saying, okay, well, this is what I did believe. Is this true? Is this what the Bible says? Or is this something that I've just been told or started believing after a traumatic experience? And we really want people to come and seek. I mean, God promises, if you seek him, you will find him. And just having an open mind and really being able to wrestle with topics that maybe you thought are taboo to talk about in church, but you can actually wrestle with them and talk about them and discuss them and have that community. Because in our society, it's very individualistic. It's very like, okay, what does this do for me? But all throughout the Bible, it's very much talking about the culture, the society, the family unit, the group, the church as a body together, really lifting each other up and encouraging each other, because it is such a dark world and there is so much brokenness and trauma. We need each other. And that's where, when I developed that, I'm like, I have my mom, I have a few people beside me helping me through this trauma, but I don't really have that many people that get it. I don't really have that many people that can be open and vulnerable with this stuff. And that's when I started the nonprofit of people who, hey, like, doesn't matter if you think you have any problems or not, just come and join the group and just see what see what it's like. And it's really, I mean, I've seen amazing transformation happen in people's lives. And we've had actually, I think there's two more people getting married from the group. We've had 9 people get married. Wow. Yeah.
Holy cow.
So, so a lot more stuff's happening too, like healing and relationships. And yeah, I mean, it's powerful when you have God at the center and people are seeking the truth and how God changes their lives. And it's not them changing, yep. but that they're partnering with God and they're working together in that partnership. And it's the way it's intended to be, instead of us being on this island by ourselves, just trying to deal with everything on our own.
That's beautiful. That's something that, I mean, you look at the world today and it is hard to find people that are willing to take that bold step and ask and pull the strings and develop their strong faith. And it is amazing to be able to forge that community online, but it's even more powerful when you find it's being able to find somebody that you know you align in the same values, have the same beliefs, and it leads to a marriage. That's beautiful. That's amazing. There are so many individuals that are lost and just floating around aimlessly, bouncing from dating app to dating app. And it's like, what are you looking for? Like, what are you really looking for? Like, you're reading a paragraph and you're swiping, but it's like going to an all you can eat buffet and all the food there is just nothing but horrible processed garbage. Like, it's not fulfilling. I've yet to meet somebody that said, yeah, I met my wife through the Tinder app, or I met my husband through Tinder. Like, you're not going to meet your future or forever spouse on one of those apps. Like, we're making courting and dating into this frivolous event that it's just like shopping on Amazon. Right. It's like, it feels good, but 90% of the times when the thing gets to your house, you're like, all right, I'm not really happy with it. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, be willing to engage with somebody and understand their values. I can't imagine ever meeting my wife in any other setting than the way we did and getting to know each other, because we dated remotely for such a long time. The vast majority of the time I spent with my wife was, after we initially met, was online. But her family lived here where I was stationed at. So I spent all my time with her family. And guess what? We went to church. We went to the same church at Mary Esther here in Florida, hanging out. And that's one of the coolest things that I'll be able to pass on to our future kids is, like, yeah, we may have dated on and been virtually dating, but every Sunday I was with my in-laws going to church. And that is a powerful thing. You don't waste your time trying to just date, trying to just be frivolous. You take your time to know the person and to understand their values, understand their family's values. And I've yet to meet other people. Like, I can't count 10 other couples to have that strong faith and that strong foundation. And that's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah.
Like, most people these days are just like, oh, we met here and, you know, there's nothing connected, where it's like, man, we're deeply connected in our faith. We're together. Like, that needs to change. In my opinion, that needs to come back. That needs to be something, because mm-hmm. that's healthy. That's strong. That's concrete. You're going to make it through anything. We've made marriage this thing where you can just fall apart. And hey, I'm guilty of it. I was guilty of it. I jumped into one marriage early on and was like, whatever, It doesn't matter. But this has a strong foundation. And that foundation is faith. Like, I am blessed to have that now. And more mm-hmm. people need that. More people need to understand the power in that. Because that building those types of relationships strengthens our communities. Sure. And that's what we need.
My husband and I met through Advancing Warriors. And I mean, I think part of it is you get to know each other so well right off the bat. All those barriers are removed and you just share your life. You share what you've been through. You share the brokenness that has been a part of your life. And we both, we have that in common of finding healing in God. But we do joke and tell people that we've met online and then we say ancestry.com. And we get a lot of funny looks. But you know how it has like on Ancestry, it's like you have a match, like an ancestral match. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. In this day and age, we can be so disconnected, but at the same time, we can connect with thousands of individuals that have our own belief and can help us grow in our own spiritual journey. And that's a beautiful thing that you're building. An online community like this is not just vital, but it can help so many people. Because it can be scary at first, especially when nobody within your friend group is talking about faith. Nobody within your friend group has the same desire to question and start going to church. And it takes a very strong individual to even want to walk into that church by themselves. You know, if you're a young, enlisted, single individual and you're just like, oh, maybe I want to go to church, maybe I'll try it out. That's a lot of courage. That's a lot of strength. But I think with your program, having that virtual community that can guide you, maybe there's somebody local that can say, hey, let's do a local mm-hmm. Bible study. Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, it's easier to be on a path to wellness when there's other healthy people right there next to you in the trenches doing the work themselves.
So much easier. we need that. Yeah. We need that strength in each other too.
Yes. When you look back at your journey, who were some of the people that you leaned on the most that kept you going?
So my mom, she has shown me unconditional love and forgiveness throughout my entire life. No matter what I did, no matter how bad, I could always go to her and say, hey, I did this. And she would open up her arms, give me a hug and say, I forgive you. That's okay. God forgives you. You have a fresh start now. And so that example, in the midst of me having that self-hatred, always going back to that love, was, I don't know if I could do it without her, if I could have done it without her, having her constantly there showing me God's love in a tangible way. So she was one of the main ones. There's also, there's a group that's online. It's faithalone.org. And it's Grace Evangelical Society, but there's a lot of amazing people a part of that. And they have podcasts and, we're a part of a Zoom group now with them. And they are so knowledgeable and so loving and so giving and so happy. Like, you rarely find like happy, joyful people. And so just having an example, I mean, my profession in psychiatry is, it's just a lot of depression, a lot of darkness, a lot of high anxiety, and just having that day in and day out without any kind of an outlet is tough. Having different outlets like that, but I mean, my mom was pretty much the only one that was there, and that's why I really tried to pursue this nonprofit to bring people together. I have more of a community now with that than I ever have. And then obviously when I met my husband, I mean, he's an amazing partner and we're so aligned, with everything that, had he been there, a lot would have been different, but yeah, I mean, it, it's hard to find people that you can rely on and you can depend on and that are going to be there for you. And the, I mean, I had friends, but they abandoned me. Like when I couldn't climb mountains, they were gone. When I couldn't be fun, they were gone. And so it, you know, when you can't achieve and you can't do things, there's not a lot of people who want to be around you. But finding those people who are there with you regardless, I mean, that is very rare to find. And when you find those people, you gotta hang on to them.
That's so true. We can sometimes get bitter. We can get resentful when those people aren't in our lives anymore, those fair weather friends. But the reality is, it's like, okay, you have your own life. You wanted, I wasn't needed in your everyday journey. That's okay. You can move on. I can move on as well. I know it's so hard to be part of a community one day and the very next day, like you don't exist. And it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, your journey is going to take you wherever you need to. And I hope that you don't find yourself in the same situation, needing a friend when you're going through something tough. Because I won't be there. You weren't there for me. I'll have my own journey. And we see that a lot in the military. Guys transition. They're no longer part of the platoon, part of the company, part of the team. And it's easy to be forgotten. But it's okay. You don't have to sit and stay bitter. You can understand that your journey with that organization is over. Now you're starting a new journey. Great friends will come around. New communities will be built. New friendships will be established. It's okay to live in bitterness and anger and resentment. That's not for you. That just drains you. That just eats away at your ability to be successful in every other endeavor. And it's extremely hard in close-knit communities. You have to remember, the mission continues. Their lives will continue, but so will yours. Good things will come to you in time. Great people will find you again. But I understand that completely. It is hard. But if you just have that one person, that can make a whole difference. Like, lean on the people that are always going to be there. Hold on to those. Those are the diamonds in the rough. Keep those close.
For sure. Yeah. And that, so along with the Advancing Warriors, I also wrote a book, just about my life and about removing barriers to healing and how to be able to chip away at those things that are blocking healing in your life. And a lot of that is kind of the biopsychosocial spiritual method. It's there's physical barriers, there's psychological barriers, there's relational barriers, and there's spiritual barriers, and just kind of walking people through in my book. The relational barriers, I mean, those are very powerful. But just like the self-sabotage is, I had these traumatic events happen. I'm not going to let anybody in close to allow that to happen again. But if I live a life like that, then I'm not truly living. And so I had to really chip away at those barriers that of paranoia, or, hey, if I allow this person in, are they going to hurt me even worse than I was hurt before? And I can't afford to be broken again. But the power of God living in our lives is that we don't have to fear the traumas because we have God. He can bring us through anything, and he can bring us through with greater character and more resilient and as a better person. And that's truly what I feel. I feel like I'm not the same person that I was before the traumas that happened. I am able to love. I am able to be more compassionate. I don't hate myself anymore. And so God used that trauma. He didn't bring the trauma in my life, but he used it to transform me more like him. And that's what he can do with all of us. And we just have to pursue healing and not pursue bitterness, anger, and isolation.
Yeah. And you said it right there. And it's hard to turn away from bitterness, anger, and hate. I know in my own journey, that was something I dealt with. Letting go of that hate, letting go of that anger towards either individuals that I blamed for a situation, perpetrators, predators, But you can't hold on to that. You can't hold on to that hate. You can't just walk through life holding on to anger and resentment, thinking that it's going to do something powerful for you, that it's going to bring about this energy and fuel to get you through obstacles. I thought that's what I needed to achieve things. Well, in the back of, you know, carry that chip on your shoulder. And a lot of people will champion that. They'll say, allow yourself to use that hate as motivation. And I'm here to tell you that at the end of the day, no, I'm sorry. That's 100% wrong. Like, let go of that. Why do you want to carry on that hate and resentment towards an individual, an entity, an organization or something? Like, they shouldn't be a factor. They shouldn't be something that you carry with you. Don't give them that power. I did that for a long time, thinking that that's what I needed to achieve. That's, I need to hang on to that hate and be angry. Like, no, let go of that. Let go of that and focus on what you want to do. Focus on the goodness in you. Focus on what you ultimately want to achieve. And then when you achieve that, then it's purely because of what you did with the, you know, you achieved that thing. You didn't need to hold on to the hate of somebody or an organization to get you through anything. But it's so hard to get that message across because so many people are championing it. To hold on to that hate, the anger and bitterness. And it's like, no, that will hurt you longer. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't want you to do that. Let go of that. His plan is greater than anything you want. You know, a lot of us have trauma from being violated, from going through unspeakable trauma, where whether you're an adult or a child, where you had endured something that is unspeakable, that is truly traumatic, and that thing, that entity has a face, it's a human being, it has a name. And in my journey, I carried that. I held on to that face, to that name. And yeah, I used that as fuel. I'm going to be better than this person. This predator, this demon, I am going to be better than this person. And you always think about the ways that you can, you know, you visualize the ways that you can get back at that person, that individual. And no matter what you envision, no matter how painful that payback could ever be, I am telling you, God's plan is 1,000,000% better.
Yeah.
Don't corrupt yourself by doing something horrible or dreaming about doing something horrible as payback, because God's plan, the thing he has in store for those that do horrible things to human beings, to their fellow men, trust me, the end of those individuals will come to an end that is truly traumatic, truly painful. And all you have to do is get to the point in your life where you can let go and be at peace and forgive. And I know that's hard. I suffered through some very dark, horrible things in my life from an early age. And that individual that was responsible for it, like ultimately, his end, his demise was by far more worthy of a proper punishment than anything I could have ever dreamt of. And I didn't have to do anything but just let go and let God do his thing. I don't have to carry that pain. I don't have to carry that responsibility because I'm not the judge. I'm not the person ultimately responsible. I can let go. And I remember finally finding out what truly happened to that individual and realizing, like, all these years, God had a plan. God had a plan. I didn't have to sit there and break myself or turn myself into this bitter, resentful, broken individual. I just had to let go. And it was beautiful because when I finally did let go of that resentment and that hate and that anger, it wasn't even a few months later that I had the notification of what truly happened to that individual. And hearing that, the way his life came to an end and the way things turned out and transpired for him, I was like, wow, like God has a plan. And it is, you have nothing to worry about. Let him take care of it.
That's really
good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, and it's hard.
Yeah.
People, I remember a lot of doctors and a lot of people were like, you have to be able to forgive. You have to be whenever you're ready, you got to be able to go through that. I remember looking at doctor and be like, you know, I just shared with you something I never shared with anybody else. Now you're telling me that I have to forgive this person? No, that's not going to happen. It's like, well, through time, it will benefit you. And I just remember being, that would always just spark anger out of me. Like, why am I going to forgive this person? But then it made more sense as I realized that I don't want to carry this for another 30, 40, 50 years. I don't want to carry that. So I started forgiving. I started being able to walk that path of understanding, like, I don't have to carry with it. I don't have to consent. What happened? Mm-hmm. I wasn't in control. That person, like, hey, I can forgive. I can forget. It's over. Like, I don't have to carry it with me anymore. And you let God, like, hey, God, take care of this. Ultimately, you're in charge. You have the power to deal with this. You're in control. You've delivered me from this situation. You've given me a life that I could never have ever imagined as a kid. Ultimately, I trust your judgment. I trust your power. I know that you are going to be able to do what's right, what's necessary. I don't have to carry this with me. Be able to surrender that and not have to worry, not carry it with you. But man, that was such a tough thing.
So tough, but so freeing. And I think people have misconceptions on forgiveness of like, well, if I forgive, it means I have to forget what happened. Or if I forgive, that means that I have to say that it was okay, that something that happened. Or I have to get right back into a relationship with that person as if nothing happened. But that's not forgiveness.
Yep.
And recognizing that, you know, God wants us to set boundaries with people that are harming us, and that we don't have to get right back into those situations, but we can let go of the bitterness and the anger and surrender to God's justice and not get in the way of his plan. Because his, like you said, his way is so much better than we could ever imagine our plan being.
Yeah. Now, going back to your book, when you were writing it, was it more of a, were you writing it from the perspective of lessons learned, or was it more of, did you find it to be more of a release and like a cathartic experience of writing this lesson out, writing this book to be able to help others?
So I thought, well, I need to write a book because I don't want to waste everything that happened. I gained a lot of wisdom through my journey of trauma, and just a lot of things that I had been trained in weren't helping me. And so I wanted people to see, hey, there's other ways to receive help too. And Focus on the Family actually asked me to write a book with them. And so it made it a lot easier for me to get going because I had people like, hey, you gotta start writing this. But it was very cathartic for me. I mean, I wrote it probably a couple of years after, probably like maybe 5 years after the trauma. And it was still very, very hard just to write everything that I went through. And there was a lot of crying. There was a lot of praying. There was a lot of just... Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm fully over this. Just a lot of going through just the remembering all the traumatic memories. And it was very healing, but it was also very difficult for me. I started my psychiatry practice, once I could read again, I ended up finding like, wow, I can really help people find healing that I couldn't in residency. Like I felt like, okay, I can get people to a certain point, but they're not going to be able to enjoy life. They're not going to be able to thrive. But I was actually able to help people remove barriers so that they could actually start thriving, so that they could actually find that they could truly live instead of just being in survival mode. And I wanted to write those examples down as well in the book of like, hey, this is how they found healing. Not everyone has the same healing path, but there's a lot of things that people can use from the book of like, okay, maybe I haven't tried this yet. Maybe it's worth trying. But we had a person come through Advancing Warriors, who was from Vietnam, and he was on so many missions, helicopter pilot, and killed a lot of people, had a lot of people killed that he really cared for right by him. And he had buried that. He hadn't told anyone about any of his stories in Vietnam for over 40 years. And he was reluctant to join the tribe group, which is our first program. And he's like, I'm just going to sit back and listen. I'm like, sit back and listen. Just take in whatever you want. You don't have to say a word. And he ended up sharing things for the first time. And in working with him individually, I mean, he was able to, he told me, he's like, I think I feel peace. I've never felt this before. And he was just living with all the PTSD symptoms every day, day in and day out. And he thought that was normal until he didn't have those. Yep. And so just really being able to see people find freedom for the first time. And I wanted to share that with other people, like, hey, you don't have to live like this your whole entire life. This isn't how it has to be. You can find freedom. And so it was very, just doing that work with people is very healing for me too. Like seeing God work in other people's lives. It's not just my life, it's other people. And I want to share that with as many people as I can.
Absolutely. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much for being here today and dealing with my voice.
Oh, it's good. Sorry you have COVID.
it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, thanks for having me on.
But once again, absolutely. It's a pleasure. I cannot wait to have you back on because going into this new year, new season, season six starting off, I want to have more discussions on faith. I think that's one of the few things that, you know, we're as Green Berets, as SOF members, we're unconventional. We're the guys that do the things that are outside the box. And right now, what's more unconventional than talking about faith and promoting good values? Like that's, we live in a morally corrupt country. We're living in a time where the one thing we can all do that's just a simple thing is to look back at the simple things in life, the things that work. And that's strong family values and faith. And that, I mean, I think it takes brave, strong individuals such as yourself coming on and being willing to advocate for those things that aren't really popular right now because it takes work. We all want to take a pill and wave a magic wand to get better. But maybe the one thing that we could start doing, starting today, is realizing that there are apps now, or maybe just get a old-fashioned Bible and sit down and read and start asking questions. Look towards God, look towards faith, rather than a TikTok video that's telling you what the latest new dance craze is. It's just that simple. Be willing to do a little bit of hard work and give away that discomfort and that hate and that fear. It's that simple. Just takes a few brave steps. Once again, name of the organization is Advancing Warriors. And what's the name of the book?
Unshackled, Finding God's Freedom from Trauma.
Absolutely. Dr. Stevens, thank you so much for being here today. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Absolutely. Take care.
You too.
If you like what we're doing and you're enjoying the show, don't forget to share us, like us, subscribe, and head on over to our Patreon where you can be part of our community and get access to all of our episodes as soon as they drop. And remember, we get through this together. Take care.